Welcome to Three Steps Forward, a podcast designed to help us grow as Jews, just a few steps at a time. In each episode, we will meet one interesting and thoughtful person with one or two pieces of useful advice to give. Our goal is to be both spiritually ambitious and humble. We really believe that we can accomplish great things if we take it just a few steps at a time. We are sitting in somewhat sunny Teaneck, New Jersey, with Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zuckier, who I'm so delighted to have a few minutes with. Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zuckier is a research associate doing a postdoc at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. He is a Magid Shir at Stern College. He's taught Gemara at a high level in various places. He received a PhD in Ancient Judaism from Yale. He learned in Nicole Elyon at Yeshiva University. And he's generally a wonderful guy and a very interesting scholar. So I encourage you to follow him online, see his articles, and enjoy and learn. And so now that I am talking with the wonderful, scholarly, and lovely Rabbi Dr. Zuckier, Rabbi Zuckier, I'm wondering the following question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So here's the deal. You spend a lot of your time thinking, learning, in a solitary manner. Meaning when you're teaching in front of a classroom, so I would say I typically find this sort of a live dynamic that's happening that's very, very different than what I'm experiencing when I'm sitting down in my office. I'm reading, I'm learning, I'm thinking, I'm producing a shiur. First of all, is that something you experience as well? What is that? What's the difference between those two experiences like for you?
Yeah, really huge difference between when you're teaching and you're sort of feeding off the audience and there's a give and take. Very different than when you're studying or thinking or reading individually. I think one place where you can feel the difference a lot is when you're teaching over Zoom, where you know, you don't have the audience and it's just really awkward and hard, which is why I think most of us prefer to be teaching a class or attending a class in person. But yeah, there's a certain energy for me with other people, and it can sometimes be a challenge to stay as engaged when you're reading or thinking learning on an individual basis.
Okay, so if that's the case, if I'm coming to somebody, right, and you can ask my congregants, I harangue them all the time, and I say, hey, you gotta be learning. What are you learning? What are you up to?
As every great rabbi should do.
Ah, thank God. Thank you. Thank you very much. I like to tell people it's in my contract, which maybe it is. I don't know. I am probably contractually bound to ask people to learn all the time. So if somebody says to me, like, look, I don't know how to just sit for an hour once a week or every night with a chavrusa, that's really hard. You know, how do I carve out the time for that, and how do I make sure that I actually stay focused? So what would you respond to that person? What could help them carve out that time? What could help them really be focused at that time?
Yeah. So first of all, everyone is different, and you sort of have to try out a few things and see what works and what doesn't. But here are a couple of tips that I found helpful for myself and sometimes for others. That are worth trying. So first of all, Rabbi Sprung, you mentioned chavrusa. I think that's huge. Having a chavrusa, having an accountability buddy, aside for helping with the learning itself, it helps you stay engaged. It helps you be able to say, look, it's not just I was going to do this myself, but I'm tired. You have someone who's actually waiting there to learn with you. Preferable if the learning is in a context that has other people learning, in a Beit Midrash or Beis Medrash even, if that's possible. You know, the fewer distractions, obviously, the better. One thing, you know, you have to make a distinction between Shabbos and during the week. So during the week, for a lot of people, it helps to, like, underline. I think this is true both for learning and for reading. You know, if there's a key passage that's you want to remember, or even just to help you stay focused. You know, whatever seems like the main line in a paragraph or on a page, it can help to underline that so that you sort of focus your mind on it. Or even take notes. Like especially if you're learning by yourself and not with a chavrusa, it helps you, you know, speak out, to use the yeshivish term, to really think through.
Very good.
To think through what you're saying and not just read through it. Okay, next, but to really reformulate it in your own words, summarize it. That can be helpful. Obviously, on Shabbos, you're not going to be underlining or taking notes. But Shabbos is, you know, it's sort of like the secret weapon, because at least I find it's a lot easier to read something that's longer, even sit down and learn something that's longer, because you know a lot of the usual distractions are not there. You're not going to be answering your phone. You're not going to, you know, you don't have to worry about, well, do I need to deal with something at work? You know, there's family members are its own exciting part of Shabbos, or can be. But the professional and smartphone type distractions are not there. So that, I think, you know, you can't take notes or underline, but you do have that upside. And one additional tip, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with a public rabbi for saying this,
I'm excited.
So feel free to edit this out.
Yeah, let me change that too. I'm nervous, but yeah.
I'm nervous. Yeah, you're nervous. Okay, it's going to be okay. You know, shul has many wonderful, davening shul has many wonderful pieces, and sometimes there's also a little bit of downtime, let's say between aliyahs, or, you know, just as people are shuffling to get up or to the next thing, and that can be a great time to get in a little bit of learning or reading, if it has to be the right, you know, it should be something appropriate for shul, obviously, preferably a sefer, but you may be able to get something that shorter snippets, you can get a few lines done during a couple minutes of downtime. So whether that's, you know, a Mishnah, if you can get a Mishnah done quickly, or even like Chumash and Rashi, you have your Chumash Rashi, you may even have it in front of you. Rashi has these, you know, one-line comments that are helpful, or Torah Tamima will bring in Midrashim, just a one-liner, and it can really open you up to a lot of ideas on the Parsha in a short period of time. So it can be helpful to sort of sneak in a little bit of learning during the slower parts of shul. Never during the rabbi's speech, of course. That
God
would be terrible.
God forbid.
Terrible.
God forbid. I was going to say that one, but I'm glad you said that. So let me ask you, do you think it's important to be friends with your chavrusa? Mm. Can you learn with someone who you're not close with, or maybe even you wouldn't hang out with in another context? You have the same interests over here. You, I don't know, you both want to learn Misilat Yesharim or just the Parsha or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I feel like it can come out in different ways. Like, sometimes if you have a good rapport with someone, that'll carry over to learning. It's not necessary, and you may even find that you're happy schmoozing about basketball, but when you try learning together, you just think about things totally differently. So, yeah, I think it really depends. I think when they say this to yeshiva guys when they're dating, or yeshiva guys who are dating women who would be learning seriously potentially, they say, you know, you're supposed to, this is dating, this is not a chavrusa. Right, so like, you know, it's a similar dynamic. Friendship is not the same thing as a chavrusa, even though the word chavrusa means a friendship. But sometimes it can work out. Sometimes there can be overlap and shared interests. So yeah, I think it really depends. I'm pretty open on that one.
Do you try, or do you recommend to people to try specifically to learn things they're interested in, or do you think that there's a certain exercise of learning, of having that kind of quiet or thinking and reflection?
Yeah, I think it depends a little bit on how much time you have, like how much time you have to invest in this. If you have a limited amount of time, you should definitely be doing something that you really enjoy and are interested in, because that'll help keep you going, keep you at it. Mm-hmm. If you find like, you know, okay, like I've done this already, I've gone through whatever, Daf Yomi once, or I've gone through Chumash with Rashi once, and it's getting a little, you know, I want something new, I want to try something different, and, you know, I think there's, or even like, I'm doing this and this is working, but I'm looking to take on something more. So yeah, it makes sense to be adventurous a little bit too, but it's, you know, high risk, high reward. It may be very good. It may be really hard to get through, and then you find you're not doing it. And, you know, the end of the day, you want to be, you want to actually be doing the learning, and you want it to be a good experience. So if it's, you know, there, of course, there's always a bit of an adjustment at first, something new and figuring out how to do it. But if you've done some of that work and it's still not really clicking, it may make sense to try something different.
I'm gonna ask you a personal question. That's okay.
Go for it.
Do you find that you were always sort of a natural quiet reader and thinker, and so this is just something you do, you know? Or have there been times when you've been struggling to focus and you had to come up with ways to settle in, settle down, put your mind to it?
Yeah. I think I've always been interested in reading and ideas and learning things, but I don't think I naturally have the longest attention span. And probably it's only gotten worse since getting a smartphone at some point. When I was in college, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's not. It doesn't come naturally. I mean, the interest comes naturally, but the mm-hmm. ability can be a challenge. And I think people. I've tried different things with caffeine intake that have helped a little bit or hurt.
Okay.
And with trying to structure my day to minimize distractions, to use Shabbos as a way to sort of force yourself to read something that you want to read but find yourself too distracted to be able to do during the week. So no, it's not natural, and a fair amount of experimentation, and you do the best you can, as with everything.
Do you think that your attention span has expanded because you keep at it, or do you think you keep going?
Yeah. So definitely when I was in yeshiva and, sort of the schedule had multi-hour chavrusas, so, it's hard and you push yourself, but you find that with time, you get used to doing it. The same is true, I think, for anyone. Like, mm-hmm. if you say, I'm going to learn for an hour Shabbos afternoon every week, it may at first be hard to focus the whole time, but you push yourself, you'll be able to build up to that. So I think when I was in yeshiva and doing that regularly and my schedule was built that way, it definitely helped. And then, once you're in the, you have some form of employment and you're running around, as I think many people end up doing at some point. I'm guessing your shul doesn't have too many Kolo for Life people. Just a wild guess. So it's harder. Like, there's always things going on. There's always another email you can respond to. If you have a family, there's always things going on with the kids. So it's harder. There's more distractions. It makes it more necessary to learn how to focus. But probably the ability has gone down over time, just as, the things have gotten more complicated, more mixed. And there's something really nice about that. You're always jumping between interesting, important things. But there is something lost in terms of ability to think as deeply or to the extent that one might want.
Have you ever received like a really good piece of advice regarding how to be successful in Torah study and learning?
So maybe the best advice I ever got was I heard this the first day I was learning in the Gush in Yeshivat Har Etzion. Rav Yehuda Amital, the founding Rosh Yeshiva, who was in his 80s by then, he gave a talk to the American students, and he said the main thing to understand is ein patentim, which doesn't mean there are no patents. That would be a different thing. But no, it means there's no shortcuts, there's no tricks.
Yeah.
And the best way to advance in your learning is to invest the time, invest the thought. Obviously, you should be, you should choose your spots, pick your spots, and be smart about how you do it. But at the end of the day, what you put in is what you're going to take out. And the more time you invest with more seriousness, the more knowledge, understanding, even inspiration you're going to come out with. So that's the trick. The trick is that there are no shortcuts, and you really should approach it. If it's something you want to take seriously, you should approach it in a serious way and try to optimize in that vein.
Awesome. I love that. So, just to clarify, in patentum, but there are patents.
There are patents.
Patents exist.
Yes, no patent anarchism here.
Okay.
Just the learning focus. That's the angle.
On that closing legal note, thank you, Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zuckier. What an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi Sprung. This was great.
This was really cool. Thanks, man. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Thank you so much for taking 3 steps forward with me. There is a wide and bright horizon ahead. Please review our podcast, and if you learned something new, share it with a friend. More episodes are on the way.